Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. We're here at EMS World Expo 2016, and we're really excited to be talking about a lot of good things. And we've got our good friend Jim Logan from Paragon Medical Education Group in the booth here with us, as well as my co-host Sam Bradley. And Sam, lots of disaster stuff going on while we're here at the conference.
Well, we're talking about Jim's partner, Dr. Joe Holly, he's not with us because he's probably going to end up in some role with this hurricane that's rolling in, which, of course, we'll have done that by the time we air this.
Matthew is about to hit Florida, or near miss Florida,
right.
And that's a problem.
South Carolina, Georgia.
Yeah, so I just got off the phone with Dr. Holly about 5 minutes ago, and he had just got a call from the National USAR office stating that the IST incident support team was going to get activated. Or to stay loose. So that means
that means they're gonna
things
go
are going to happen. Don't go anywhere. Don't make any plans except with us. So get your bags packed and ready to go. So I pulled up this morning. It may be different now, but I think it has hit Haiti. It's headed up the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
They got hit pretty hard. I can think of 65 deaths
in Haiti
right now.
Wow.
That they know of.
Yeah, that they know of. So, you know, coming from Haiti, you know, that data is probably... the numbers, unfortunately, are probably higher than what they're reporting now.
Well, the Bahamas took a hit, too, didn't they?
They did. And well, right now, I think they're taking the hit right now.
Yeah, so it's right over Nassau as we speak.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, so the governor of Florida just got on the television not too long ago this morning and was telling everybody evacuation plans. And if you don't leave, this is what's going to happen to you. So I think they have as we do, because this part of the country hasn't been hit by a hurricane, because it's going to hit, I think, what one of the models project is Jacksonville, that kind of area. So that region hasn't seen a category, a four, I guess is what it is.
Major hurricane.
Right. For 100 years, I think.
Yeah. Wow, really?
Yeah.
They're comparing it. They said, don't compare it to the 1980 storms.
Right.
Don't compare it to the 1972 storm. They were going back and saying, this is going to be something unlike you've ever seen or heard about.
Yeah, so unfortunately, hope not, but it sounds like it's spinning up. It doesn't spin down. It could be as bad as Katrina.
Well, didn't you say, Jamie, they're projecting it could go to a Cat 5?
Well, the Hurricane Hunters just issued their report from the National Weather Service that it is spun up to a 140-mile-an-hour Category 4 hurricane as of 10 a.m. on this Thursday we're speaking. That means that we are talking about and they're saying it's going to continue to strengthen as it goes back over all water and heads towards the Florida coast. So that there is a good chance it will spin up. I think if it reaches 147 miles an hour, it's a Category 5.
Right.
Okay.
So it's 7 miles an hour short of a Category 5 hurricane.
Kind
of
scary.
Yeah.
So we're at Katrina strength for sure.
It is not moving slowly, which of course makes it worse in terms of flooding.
Flooding is increased when a storm is slow moving.
Right.
But this is going to be a direct hit on some part of the Florida coast.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like it could actually take the whole coast. Hit the whole coast.
You know, we're talking about winds, right? But it's not just the winds; it's the rain. Storm surge. So the outer bands are going to soak, flood Orlando and,
Extend hurricane force hurricane warnings inland to Orlando and some of the central areas of Florida.
So the happiest place on earth may not be so happy in a few days.
Right.
Let's cross our fingers for all the people.
So I guess the point is, and this will air probably after landfall.
I'll bring this out actually right away.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, if you're in that area and you have an evacuation order, you know to leave.
Take care of yourself, people.
I'm going to try to get this out tomorrow morning, maybe, so we can get it out.
Perfect.
Well, hopefully Katrina was a lesson to a lot of people, even the who weren't in Louisiana.
Well, that's true.
If they tell you to go, it's a wise idea.
I think as Americans, we tend to forget things very quickly, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do. So, we got the lessons learned from 9/11, and those are kind of rearing their heads again, and we're acting like it's new, and it's not. This, the threat on our homeland is both man-made and natural, they're here, and they will continue to be here.
Yeah, well, so. This is fascinating to me for someone who's always lived in California, now in Colorado. We do hurricanes.
Right.
So it's just all of the things people go, at least yeah, you guys, know it's coming.
You guys shake a little bit.
Yeah, not anymore. I'm in Colorado.
Oh, are you? Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's perfect.
You might have a
nothing
you
bad
mudslides
happens
and floods,
in Colorado.
Right? It's all good.
Yeah.
We get snow. That's
but it is important that when we talk about this on the show all the time, Jim, people need to be prepared. I just was on somebody on Facebook that lives in Central Florida was talking about how he and his family were, you know, at the store and there was like limited, the bread aisle was wiped out. And he was trying to get enough food to last for 24 to 36 hours. And I commented on his post, you need to be prepared for 72 hours plus.
Yeah, you know,
to be self-sufficient,
I
think, and you will lose power for that long or longer is likely because of what the governor said.
Yeah, I think what in my experience as the emergency manager for the city of Memphis, right, we told people that were in the CERT program and things like that to be prepared for 3 to 7 days.
Yeah.
You know, and that's hard for people to do. You know, to store water, to have a generator ready to go. It takes a lot of work. And it's not
if you pre-plan it.
Well, not. But
if you're not doing it at the last minute.
I think it's just as people, as Americans, it's not convenient. You know, we can run to the ATM.
Well, it's not going to happen to me.
Right. Right. Exactly. So you just have to have those provisions kind of put away and have a plan to do it and check it every year. So that's and not only for your home but in your car. Right?
Definitely. Right. But have the MRE. Maybe we don't want to eat MRE style meals, but there's
meals
a lot of new
eat.
Kinds of you can survive on them. So if you can't get any bread at the grocery store,
so they're
store,
so good actually. These
and they're
days,
getting they're a lot better.
They're not like
a lot
the
better than they used
rations,
to be.
Right?
Well, the military MREs we used to have.
Yeah, so they got gourmet. Meals ready to eat now that I like number 23. Actually, that's my favorite. It's the enchiladas.
I'll have to remember
they're
that.
Good. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they come with a little thing of hot sauce. It's perfect.
Well, kind of eat. I love the original MREs. It always had the little hot sauce
because
you had to put that on there just to be able to eat it.
That's right.
Like you said, it's a lot better now.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a lot of water. I mean, it's just ready.
Yeah, you can
ready.
Buy any of that stuff. You can get MREs on Amazon in about any flavor and desire
in 2 days,
quantity
we'll have
you want.
Them.
And
it's
very easy. I mean, they actually have planned family kits, meals for four for 3 days in a bucket.
I would actually buy some just so my family would know what they tasted like. And I served it one night, and they were like, this is amazing. It comes out of a box, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah.
And hey, you have M&Ms as well.
So oh, okay, cool. But so you don't want to lose your point, Jim, about having stuff in your car. You don't know where you might get stuck.
Well, it's not about just the hurricanes. You're in Colorado, so you got snowstorms, you know, blizzards.
Yeah.
Those that's coming, right? It's coming that time.
Word,
so you could
frozen
get stranded.
Out this week.
Where I'm at, it's likely ice, not snow. So we don't in the South, right? We're in New Orleans. I'm from Memphis. We do not do winter weather very well at all. You know, everything shuts down, including the interstates. And there's been several times where, you know, the interstates in my area have been shut down and cars on the road for, you know, up to 24 to 36 hours.
Of course, here's Jamie on the East Coast, so he's very used
to it. You guys got that down.
We figure out, you know, we're gonna be prepared for, last time we had a big snowstorm, we couldn't get out of our neighborhood for 3 days. Late in the afternoon on the third day, they finally got a bucket loader because they couldn't push the snow with the plow. And they basically used a bucket loader and just went up the driveway one scoop at a time up the street.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the third house in, so we got out quicker than a lot of our neighbors did.
But you were prepared for it.
But we were prepared
for
that.
We
knew it was coming. We saw the weather reports. I said, I always am prepared for, we didn't lose power luckily, but I had a fully stocked wood pile and a nice fireplace and food that we could cook on a gas stove easily.
Right.
So we were ready to go.
Yeah, so alternative means of cooking, you know, your barbecue, you don't think about it in the wintertime, but your barbecue grill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just have, you know, don't have the propane tank filled up in the summertime. Have it year round so you can cook. Right.
And you know, only thing there is just to make sure you're cooking outside in a well ventilated area and not anywhere near the house so that you're not getting carbon monoxide in the home.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's ways to do this and be prepared appropriately.
And if you do have to evacuate, and these areas know which ones are likely to have to do that, have a kit ready. Don't be scrambling for stuff at the last minute. Know that you need your meds and your extra eyeglasses and a sturdy pair of shoes. Florida, and
oh my gosh, medication, right?
Yeah, yeah. People forget
especially
about
in Florida, we got
and
so many
animals.
Elderly that the people that live on these beachfront or these waterfront homes in these condos are often elderly people that have retired there.
Yeah,
and so they're yeah. Think about it. Your average 60 to 70 year old person, how many meds are the average person on?
Yes.
And do they have an advanced supply that if they have to leave town for and go to a shelter for 7 days or go to a relative's for 7 days, is there a way for them to get their prescriptions refilled?
And working with the DMAT, that's what we see so much of, is these people can't get to their meds or don't have enough, and then they come into the tent going, grandma doesn't have her arthritis medicine or
guilty,
heart medicine.
Right? So at Katrina, I went out the door with less than I knew for my blood pressure medicine, so we had to go search those with DMAT, had to go find a pharmacy that was open, and it's a pain, right? But it was a lesson learned to have my meds, at least, because these, blizzards probably are planned events. We know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricanes are planned events. We knew this thing was coming 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And we knew the models. So when you see those reports come out, it doesn't hurt a thing to go to Walgreens, CVS, or pharmacy.
Before everybody else wipes it out.
Yeah. And in the event of something like this happening, they can go to your insurance company and say, we are filling this prescription early because of this event.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's fine with it. You don't have
sense.
To wait because, I have 10 days left. I have to wait until I'm only 7 days out before I can refill it. No.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell them, I'm worried about the storm. I'd like to get my next refill early.
Great point.
They'll do it. And you just have to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has a problem with that. Your insurance company, your doctor, your pharmacy do not have a problem
Makes
doing that for you.
Makes it easier for everybody that way.
Yeah.
And for the DMAT, so I don't have to go find all these meds in a disaster area.
That's what we do, right? But
because exactly.
There's that segment of the population that is not prepared, and that's that's where we fill that gap.
Well, and that speaks to take care of your neighbors.
Yeah,
where you live, Jamie, everybody knows everybody, and if you have that older couple down the street, somebody's going to look out for them. It's not the case everywhere, but that's where your certs are really useful.
Oh my gosh,
oh my God, that is such a great resource because they learn so much stuff. They can dig you out of your house. They can take care of your first aid needs.
Well, not only that, I think the CERT program, and CERT stands for
Citizens Emergency Response Team.
Right. So they go out and they take care of their community, right?
Exactly.
For 72 hours. But what they also do is they assist. We live in a society of convenience, right? So
right.
You think you can call 911 and the fire truck's going to show up, everybody's going to. So in a crisis like that, that's not going to happen. And that's where the CERT team's filling that gap. They can do windshield surveys and get, identify the areas of most need and give us information in the first response community.
They're your eyes in the individual communities and neighborhoods where you can't get experienced eyes on the ground.
Yep.
Well, it's important early on in a disaster, having done Red Cross work for so many years, to get that windshield survey so they got a general idea of what they're dealing with and what resources they need to bring in. That's really important.
Well, they know their community already, right? Mm-hmm. So that's it takes a village. As they say,
it does.
Right?
It does. Well, so let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Paragon's
let's talk a little about
doing.
What Paragon's doing here. So you guys got some exciting stuff going on here.
We're growing. It's amazing. And thank you guys for having us on your show. And so I have recently retired from Memphis Fire Department.
Did you?
Congratulations.
And I have. We've kind of move things around to where I could do this full time, and things are growing in disaster education, and working with Zoll and some other companies to do some human tissue labs to demonstrate products and procedures and things like that. So it's really some exciting times for us.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
You're going to be one of these retired guys. It's three times busier once you retire.
So that's exactly true. So I am busier now than I was when I had a real job.
And Mrs. Logan's okay with that?
She is, actually. We still have bills to pay.
Yes, we do.
So I'm semi-retired. So it's kind of cool. So I'm in the gig economy, right?
Right.
So it works. It works out really well.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So you're looking at products and really giving people some hands-on, as we've talked about many times before on the podcast. You're giving them that hands-on experience with human tissue. Mm-hmm. To see how tourniquets work appropriately, how some of the other hemorrhage control devices, I'm assuming
Airway
as well.
And on their new, it's been out for a little over a year, their rescue CPR system, talking about active compression, decompression CPR and the ITD and mm-hmm. how that affects negative pressure and how it's increasing survival rates. Some of the things we're hearing is, why do I need this? Because I have mechanical CPR. Two different animals, and so
can one enhance the other?
I think one is for on scene. So you're seeing a lot of systems go to stay and play on the scene of a cardiac
right.
arrest more.
Yes.
Because we got into this whole thing of this culture of we got to load and go and get.
Not anymore.
Right? But I don't think that I've ever seen the magic wand or fairy dust at the ED. So we have everything in our hands.
We can
right?
do
the
it.
The best
yeah.
chance they have is right now.
Yeah.
On the field.
So that's kind of where we're trying to shift back to. I think we were there before, but now we're going back to it. I think both devices have a place. One is for the rescue CPR system is for the on scene piece. And then if you have to transport that patient that's still in cardiac arrest and decide to transport, that's where you go to your.
But
mechanical.
That's usually when you've seen something coming back, and there's the people that are being transported have a much better chance.
What is going on? It's like a pigeon.
It's a disaster fly.
Don't say pigeon. We got hit. One of our booth members got hit by a pigeon
around.
The day we were setting up. So
what's going on? That was huge. It was the biggest.
I thought they'd be bigger in Memphis. But
No. That's mosquitoes.
No.
Yeah, the mosquitoes are big enough to carry away small children and dogs.
Talk a little bit about the experience, because that was my first experience with what you guys do. And I went up there with my camera and I interviewed some people, and the medics were just blown away because they don't get the level of practical experience that you guys provide.
Well, let me just kind of frame it up this way. So we're at EMS World. And so at any EMS conference, you'll go to a showroom floor and you'll see a lot of plastic models that you get to look at and practice, maybe use.
And the perfect airway. Right?
The perfect airway, right? Which isn't perfect, right? Anyway, but it's still plastic.
Yeah.
And so you don't get that experience of human tissue, which is where the rubber meets the road for our industry, right? This one's all about the patient. So what we've done is we've tried to get with different vendors that have innovative products where we can use like tourniquets and the rescue CPR system with Zoll, airway devices with Intabright and some other people that you can actually come into the showroom floor during the exhibit hall hours, go to our booth and use those products instead of a rubber or plastic mannequin. And it's really not sales. We educate you on difficult airway, not the product. We educate you on hemorrhage control, not the product that controls it, but we have like devices,
these
right, that you can try.
Yeah.
So it's all comers, you just put them in there, and whichever one you like best, because, different strokes for different folks, right?
Or maybe your system uses device X, but you've never actually used it in the field.
Right.
Here's your opportunity to use it on human tissue and get a sense of what you actually physically need to do beyond the training mm-hmm. that you've had on that device.
Mm-hmm. I remember one kid who had just gotten out of school, and he could not intubate. He was having so much trouble intubating. And he did it on one of the cadavers. And he was just, his self-confidence just, and I remember seeing him later, and he said, I haven't missed a tube since.
Yes, right. I remember that story.
Yeah.
So it's for EMS educators, right? It's a moment of I don't know how to describe it, but you see the light bulb come on, and it makes sense to
it's fascinating
to the student, and it makes sense to you. So that's what we're trying to give is a level of comfort, right? So competency is one thing that you can do it on a rubber mannequin or whatever, but unless you're comfortable with the procedure, you're not going to use the procedure. You're going to go to whatever's next, right?
Right.
Not the not the front line.
Just the basics. I remember walking in there with Dr. Joe doing BLS airway.
Right.
And these are medics and nurses, and they're fascinated. They're just watching him. I don't know what he was doing, but just going over those basic concepts and maybe teaching them something they just never learned the first time.
Well, I think it's something as simple as a head tilt, chin lift, you know, bag valve mask, oral airway, or a nasal pharyngeal airway. How really subtle the procedure is. You don't have to crank the neck back. You know, it's really very subtle, and so we go from 2D to 3D, right? Or maybe 4D, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's it just makes sense. So, you know, it's a little hard to get people to, you know, that's a cadaver. I don't want to be around it. And so what I find funny in our industry is like people are kind of like, I'm sorry. Well, you see those people every day.
Yeah, we do.
Right? So you just got to frame it up as this is your patient. They're in cardiac arrest or they have a hemorrhage control issue. And then the light bulb comes on. It's fascinating to how you spin it, if you will. If it's a cadaver, it's a different approach that they take. When you say your patient is a 37-year-old da-da-da-da-da that has whatever, then they go to work. It's a level of comfort these folks
get. You do a lot of other stuff. You do trainings. You can design for any system, whatever their system needs. You do active shooter. You've done a lot of those.
Active assailant, whatever the buzzword
is. Well, yeah,
whatever
it's
it is now.
There's another word for the guy with the knife.
We're going to wind down because I want to make sure you get over to where you need to go.
Yeah, we got to get going.
But just talk briefly about how, when someone reaches out to you, and what the process is. How do you get from them to the point where you've designed the product that they need, the education they need? I mean,
yeah. So I think it's as simple as going to the website, the Zester Podcast, email.
And link from the Zester Podcast is ParagonMedicalGroup.com.
Right.
And reach out to
Twitter.
You, watch the video, and
so I think,
the links
I think
there.
That's the thing. So we've redesigned the website. Mm-hmm. So there's a video there. So it's very...
That's nice.
It's really kind of complicated to try to explain to a potential customer
what
we do. So if you can go on the website and watch the video, you go, oh, I got it. Because we do everything from civilian EMS to special ops, PJs, Marines, Navy SEALs. So it's kind of a whole gamut of what we do, but it's really up to your imagination of what your service really needs.
What do you need us to do?
It's up to your imagination.
Great. Well, Jim, thanks for making some time. I know you're super busy and got a lot going on. Sam, you know, we talked about disasters, the current hurricane situation, and we talked about some of the amazing things that Jim and the rest of the team here are doing with Paragon, looking at medicine in a different way.
Yeah, and we've talked, you know, in these podcasts about all kinds of different disasters, you know, from personal disasters to huge hurricanes. But it's obvious that disaster medicine is not our everyday medicine.